For the arrival at the goal and the awareness of having arrived do not come into being at the same moment. Rather, there is a borderland of ignorance, not the ignorance far removed from knowledge, but that which lies close to it, next door to it. For the man who has grasped, who understands, and who knows his own powers to the utmost, it would be a fitting task to make war against the contentious and sophistic throng, for such a man may hope to win. But for the one over whom the darkness of ignorance still hangs, whose light of knowledge has not yet gathered strength to shine, it is safer to remain at home. That is, not to enter into a contest concerning matters he has not fully grasped, but rather to stay calm and quiet. But the man carried away by self-conceit, not knowing the holds of his opponents, will suffer before he acts and will meet the death of knowledge, which is more grievous than the death that separates soul from body. This is bound to happen to those deceived by sophistries, for when they cannot find the solutions to them, believing the falsehoods as though they were true, they die the life of knowledge, suffering the same fate as those cheated by flatterers. For in these men, too, the soul's healthy and true friendship is expelled and overturned by a friendship that is by nature diseased. One must therefore advise both those beginning to learn, for they are without knowledge, and those making progress, because they are not yet perfect, and even those newly made perfect, because they do not yet know how far their perfection extends, not to enter into contests of this kind. As for those who disobey, the text says, another man will dwell in the house, another will acquire the vineyard, another will lead the woman home. And this is equivalent to saying that the powers mentioned, of zeal, of improvement, of perfection, will never fail, but will visit different people at different times and pass from soul to soul, resembling seals. For these two, once they have stamped the wax, remain unaltered in themselves, having suffered nothing from having impressed their form upon it. And if the wax that received the impression is confounded and destroyed, another will in turn be substituted. So do not think, noble friends, that these powers perish along with those who perish. For being immortal, they welcome countless others before you to the glory that comes from them. Whomever they perceive not to have fled their company out of recklessness, as you have done, but to be approaching them and attending upon them with due care and security. But if anyone is a friend of virtue, let him pray that all noble things be implanted in him and appear in his own soul, as in a finished statue or painting, in due proportion toward beauty of form, reckoning that there are countless others waiting in reserve, to whom nature will grant in his place all these things, aptitude for learning, advances, perfections. It is better that he shine forth before them, husbanding securely the graces given him by God, and not, by putting them on display, offer the most ready plunder to enemies who show no mercy. There is, then, little benefit in a beginning that is not sealed by a happy end. And often, in fact, some who were made perfect were reckoned imperfect, because they seem to have improved through their own eagerness rather than through the providence of God. And for this very reason, for seeming so, and being lifted up to the greatest heights, they were cast down from their lofty places into the deepest pit and vanished. For it says, if you build a new house, you shall also make a parapet for your roof, and you shall not bring blood guilt upon your house, if one who falls should fall from it. Deuteronomy 22:8. For of all falls, the most grievous is to slip and fall away from the honor of God, having crowned oneself before that honor and thereby committed a kindred murder. For whoever does not honor being kills his own soul, so that the edifice of his education becomes of no benefit to him. Education, however, has been allotted an ageless nature, and this is why the text calls its house new. For other things are destroyed by time, but education, the further it advances, the more it flourishes and comes into its prime, growing ever more radiant and renewed by continuous care in its everlasting beauty. And indeed, among the exhortations, the law counsels those who have obtained the greatest abundance of good things not to record themselves as the cause of that abundance, but to remember God, who gives strength to make power, Deuteronomy 8:18. This, then, was the end and completion of prosperity, while those other things were its beginnings, so that those who forget the end could not any longer rightly enjoy even the beginning of what they had acquired. For such men, their failures come about willingly, through self-love, since they cannot bear to declare that God, the giver of gifts and the bringer of completion, is the cause of good things. But there are some who, having spread every sail of piety and hastened to put in at her harbors, then, when they were not far off but already about to make anchor, found a sudden wind burst upon them from the opposite direction and drove back their ship, which had been running a straight course with sails full, so as to cut away much of what had been working toward a safe voyage. No one could still blame these men for being at sea, for their delay was involuntary, coming upon them even as they pressed forward. Who then may be compared to these but the one who has vowed the vow called great? For it says, if someone should die suddenly beside him, the head of his vow shall at once be defiled, and he shall be shaved. And then, after a few more words, it adds, the former days shall be null, since the head of his vow was defiled. Numbers 6:9-12. No one could still blame these people for being adrift at sea, since the delay that overtook them in their haste was involuntary. Who then is like them, if not the man who vowed the vow called the great vow? If someone, it says, dies suddenly beside him, the head of his vow will be defiled at once, and it shall be shaved. Then, after a few more words, it adds, and the former days will not be reckoned because the head of his vow was defiled. Numbers 6:9-12. Through both expressions, then, suddenly and at once, the involuntary turning of the soul is set before us. For voluntary offenses need time in order to deliberate where, when, and how the act is to be done, whereas involuntary ones fall upon us in a flash, without forethought, and, if one may put it this way, outside of time altogether. For it is hard, just as with runners who have begun the course toward piety, to keep the race unstumbling and unbroken to the end, since countless obstacles stand in the way of everyone who has come into being. The first and only benefit, then, is not to touch any wrongdoing that is deliberate, and to have the strength to fend off the whole irresistible mass of involuntary faults. The second is not to be caught up in many involuntary faults, nor for a very long time. He spoke beautifully in calling the days of the involuntary turning, without reckoning. Not only because sinning itself is without reason, but because for involuntary acts no account can be given. Even when people often ask the causes of things, we say we neither know them nor can state them, for we were not present as they happened, and we were even unaware of their arrival. It is rare, then, if God grants to anyone to run the race course of life from beginning to end without stumbling and without slipping, but instead to fly over both kinds of wrongdoing, the voluntary and the involuntary, with the rush and sweep of the swiftest possible speed. These things, then, have been said about beginning and end through the example of Noah the righteous, who, having acquired the first and elementary parts of the art of farming, was too weak to come all the way to its furthest limits. For it is said that he began to be a farmer of the earth, not that he attained the boundaries of the highest expertise. But let us speak once more of what has been said concerning the tending of plants.